One of the great aspects about America is that it has historically been a safe haven for Jews, as well as others, of course. George Washington even wrote beautiful letters to some of the early synagogues, extolling the freedom Jews have here. President Trump has worked hard to make it safe for Jews here in America and even in their own country of Israel. Trump led the brokering of a peace deal between Israel and Hamas, thus bringing home the remaining living hostages of Hamas who had been in captivity since October 7, 2023. But the peace between Israel and Hamas would appear to be very fragile, and critics note that's not Israel's fault. To help us understand these things and to get an update on jihad in general is Robert Spencer, a bestseller on all things Islamic. Robert Spencer now joins us. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Robert, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I really appreciate everything you have to share on these things.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's always good to talk to you as well.
Sure. And I'd like you to tell us about the Hamas peace deal. I mean, it's a start.
Well, I suppose you could look at it that way, but a start to what? It seems to me to be pretty much an unmitigated disaster. It's a shame because it was a tremendous opportunity. The jihad, because it's based on Islamic theology, never ends. And consequently, the idea that there could be Israel and the Palestinians or a Palestinian state living side by side in peace, it's a total fantasy. This will never happen. However, that does not mean that jihad is always waged with equal ferocity or fervor. If Hamas had been completely destroyed, as Israel had vowed to do repeatedly, that would have set the jihad back years, maybe even decades. But in order to gain a victory, all Hamas had to do was survive. And then it can gather strength to fight again more effectively. And that's the whole idea of a truce in Islam. Islamic law does not allow for peace between a Muslim entity and a non-Muslim entity that are at war with each other unless the Muslims are losing and need time to gather their forces and to fight again and win this time. And that's the whole reason, the sole and whole reason why Hamas agreed to this deal, because it gives them that breathing room. But nobody in the Western world, in the Trump administration or in Western Europe or anywhere, seems to have any idea of that fact or of its importance.
Well, it was interesting when stories were coming out in the news, you know, oh, here's this historic peace deal, and it seemed good. But in the meantime, Hamas leaders were basically forcing their enemies who were fellow Muslims, and they were forced to go on their knees, and then they were just shooting them in their head one after another. Who were those people that were being shot, and who were the shooters? Obviously, Hamas leaders is the answer to the second part of that question.
The people who were shot, Jerry, were members of Gazan clans that rejected the authority of Hamas. And when the Israelis were on the verge of victory, it looked as if they had a chance to gain power over their respective domains and to drive Hamas out. Unfortunately, the truce gave Hamas the breathing room it needed, as I just explained, so that it could continue fighting. And that allowed Hamas to take the lethal action that we saw it take against the leaders of these various clans, reasserting its total authority over Gaza. So here again, if Israel had been allowed to finish the job, Hamas might have been destroyed not only by the Israelis, but also by Gazans who reject its rule. But instead, Hamas was able to destroy them.
Well, what exactly is Hamas? And I understand that in its very charter, which is not that old, it says the elimination of Israel, or at least the elimination of the Jewish state of Israel, is one of their objectives.
That's right, Jerry. The Hamas charter dates from 1987, and it is still in effect. And it says right at the beginning, Israel will arise and continue until Islam obliterates it. Not the Palestinians obliterate it, or even the Arabs or the Islamic states, but Islam is going to destroy Israel. Now, here again, this is another aspect of this conflict that nobody in the West seems to realize its importance or its significance. And in this case, Hamas is an acronym in Arabic for Islamic Resistance Movement. And its whole reason for opposing Israel is based on Islam and on the fact that Islam teaches that any land that once was ruled by the Muslims belongs by right to Islam forever. And consequently, they have a responsibility before Allah to fight to drive the Israelis out and reassert Islamic control over this land. So the whole reason for the conflict and the reason why it resists any peaceful solution is all about Islam. And yet that's the one aspect of it that Western analysts continually ignore and downplay.
To our peril. Well, you know, it's interesting that we're recording this right now in late October. It looks as if a professing Muslim, jihadist actually, Mamdani, is poised to be perhaps the next mayor in New York City. He certainly has the odds in his favor. And yet he has said Israel has the right to exist as a nation. And then some people have said, well, you mean as a Jewish state? What do you know about that?
Oh, well, that's actually a very common tactic that is did not originate with Mamdani. It comes from the Palestinian Authority, which recognized the right of Israel to exist some years ago, because that was a stipulation that the Western so-called peacekeepers or peacemakers were demanding in order for the Palestinians to continue to receive Western aid and so on. And so the Palestinian Authority readily agreed to this idea that Israel had a right to exist, and people were thrilled and they thought, now we have the basis for peace in our time. But the Palestinian Authority stipulated that they were not allowing for the existence of Israel as a Jewish state, but only as a political entity. In other words, if Israel were completely overwhelmed by Islamic jihadis and it became a Sharia state, that would be fine. But they were not going to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. And this is what Mamdani is picking up on. He's a very dangerous candidate. He could cause a lot of trouble, not just to New York, but to the country in general. And you can read details about him actually in my new book, Intifada on the Hudson, The Selling of Zohran Mamdani, which is available now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you have a website you want to mention? Would you have information on the book?
Jihadwatch.org covers jihad activity all around the world and in the United States. Most people don't realize how much of it is still going on, and you can find that every day at jihadwatch.org.
Samuel Huntington used to be a professor. I mean, I guess he's the late Samuel Huntington, a professor at Harvard. But he did talk about Islam having bloody borders. What is that all about? And he wrote a book called The Clash of Civilizations.
Well, Huntington was absolutely right, although he has been excoriated and denounced as a racist and so on, and his thesis has been dismissed and misrepresented. Nonetheless, he was actually correct that everywhere in the world, throughout history and today, where Muslims and non-Muslims live together in close proximity, the Muslims attack the non-Muslims, and they never live together in peace. The reason for that is based on Islamic theology and the mandate to wage war against and subjugate unbelievers. And so this is something that is very clear from Islamic theology. Huntington spoke about it forthrightly, and yet it is characterized as if he said some terrible, egregious thing.
Well, you know, it is so fascinating to think about the idea that 9/11, the bulk of the victims of 9/11 were New Yorkers. And yet here, 24 years later, the city seems poised to accept, you know, vote in an Islamist candidate.
Yeah, that's right, Jerry, because you see, for 24 years now, since 9/11, and actually before that as well, New Yorkers, as well as Americans in general, were constantly reminded that the 9/11 attacks had nothing to do with Islam, that the Muslims were the real victims of the 9/11. And, you know, it was kind of wild that Zohran Mamdani recently said the same thing, that the worst thing about 9/11 was that his aunt couldn't go out anymore in public because she was afraid she'd be attacked for wearing her hijab. Now, that story turned out to be completely fake, but it actually wasn't anything new that Mamdani was saying. Leftists and Muslims have been claiming that Muslims were the real victims of 9/11 ever since 9/11. And so it's not really surprising that Mamdani would be able to rise as a candidate, because New Yorkers know better by now. You know, they know if I suggest that his religion had anything to do with 9/11, that would be racist and bigoted and Islamophobic. And of course, they never examine the ideology of the attackers, and so they don't really know if this is true or not. But they've been thoroughly indoctrinated to know that one does not discuss Islam in connection with terrorism. And so if you have a Muslim, even a Muslim socialist who's been spoken vocally for several jihad groups, Hamas, as well as the Holy Land Five that funded Hamas and so on, they just assume, well, he would reject 9/11. He hates 9/11. He has nothing to do with that.
That is amazing. Okay, so what does the phrase global intifada refer to? And it's my understanding he's in favor of that. And we only have about a minute or two left. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry, he's refused repeatedly to condemn the phrase globalize the intifada. The two intifadas in Israel were occasions for the mass murder of numerous Israeli civilians. And so when people say globalize the intifada, they are saying that they want to see Jews killed all over the world, just going about their business, not IDF members or something, but just Jews. And when he refuses to condemn that, he is tacitly endorsing that idea. And so it's just kind of astonishing that he's about to become the mayor of the city with the largest Jewish population in the world outside of Israel. But, well, that just shows the power of misinformation and indoctrination today.
Can we in America learn anything from London? And they've had a Muslim mayor, I guess, since the late 1990s.
Yeah, and, well, they can learn that if you want to see your city destroyed, the greatest city in your country destroyed, then elect a Muslim socialist, because it's very clear that Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, has a great many priorities, but none of them are the well-being of the people of London. And so crime has skyrocketed, as you might expect from a chaos agent who wants to destroy the existing system so that an authoritarian system can be imposed. And so the same kind of thing is going to happen in New York as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, we have 20 seconds left. Well, how do you want to close this? Jihadwatch.org for more information. Robert Spencer, 20 seconds.
Yep. And in Intifada on the Hudson, the selling of Zohran Mamdani shows that he's even worse than you think. And if you think, oh, well, I don't live in New York, it doesn't have anything to do with me, think again. He can cause a lot of trouble for the whole country.
Wow. Okay, Robert Spencer, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.